Now, 7 o'clock on December 10th, 2015. I'm calling to order the Pappy, Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Rev State Statute 84-14-07 through 84-14-14 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, directors will discuss the items and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Agenda item 3, looks like we have an excused absence from Director Tim Fowler. Quorum call, please.
Bowman.
Present.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Here.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Poodle.
Here.
And chairperson.
Here. Agenda item number 4, adoption of the agenda.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and second. Roll call, please.
Fred Caesar. Excuse me, Fred.
We got a new board member.
I don't know whether to respond to that.
Just say
present.
Yes. Yes.
Aye.
John. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe.
Frost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Shepherd.
Yes. Agenda item number 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second. We have a motion and second. Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Shepherd.
Yes. Let's see, agenda item 6, proof of publication of the meeting notice. I have the affidavit of proof of publication that will become part of our permanent record. Moving on to agenda item 8, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resources Conservation Service report. Neil Jensen, the district conservationist. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening. USDA just recently announced $350 million for the ASEP program. The ASEP program is our easement program, and so part of that money goes into the ag land easements. That was the old farm and ranch land protection program where it protects the cropland, farmland from going to urban, and it's a permanent easement. The other portion of that money then goes to the Wetland Reserve easement program, which is basically a wetlands program, saving those. I've not heard yet of this $350 million how much is going to come to Nebraska. Haven't seen that yet. Also, that's kind of underneath this program is the Wetland Reserve Enhancement Partnership. And this is where partners can take part of their money and pool that with the NRCS funds to develop wetland projects. There was $30 million that was approved that went to six states this year, and Nebraska was one of the six states that got some of that money. The Rainwater Basin Joint Venture down in south central Nebraska received $1.7 million for their wetland projects, and this is putting wetlands in an easement to maintain those areas as wetlands then. So it was good to see that Nebraska got a little bit of those funds that was out there. Go to the next one. This is just to let you know that their Pheasants Forever is having some information meetings for producers. If you'll notice, I highlighted four of the meetings that are actually located within the Papio NRD. Two are up in Burke County. One will be held in this building on January 13th, and then one up in Washington County at the service center up there. So if you got any opportunity and want to find out more about the CRP program, you got 56 chances to get there. So that's all I've got. Any questions?
There was something recently about an attempt in southwestern Sarpy County to set some land away in permanent easements. Would this money that's coming out of Washington be available for something like that?
We've used it for that in the past. Normally under that easement program for farm and ranch land protection, it requires a sponsor to make the application on behalf of the landowner.
Such as an NRD being a sponsor?
NRD can be a sponsor. I believe the Nebraska Land Trust.
They've been mentioned in the
has article. Done that on several occasions.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Neil? Thank you. Moving on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts. Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NERD Legislative Conference will be held Tuesday and Wednesday, January 26th and 7th in Lincoln. And I hope you get a good turnout from our group, and that's all I have.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving right along to 8C, Legislative Report, Hush Blackwell. Steve.
Good evening. I'll keep this brief tonight. Ron's report at the last board meeting covered the legislative calendar for this coming legislative session, as well as interim studies, open seats, and bill introductions. I'm just going to report on two brief items this evening. One of those, I think some of you are at least are already familiar with this, one of the two bills likely to be a priority for the NARD this year and the upcoming session will be a proposal to authorize all NRDs to have the option of using electronic voting by directors, so like at your monthly meetings. It'd be similar to what's available to the legislature in some cities and other governmental units, so that when you're taking roll call votes, you could just push a button. Also, the Legislative Council met on November 19th and 20th, and senators were briefed on interim activities and committee interim studies. Major topics, as you might imagine, included property taxes, property tax relief, education funding, corrections, Medicaid expansion, roads, and infrastructure and energy issues. Tim and Ron both continue to meet with legislative candidates and senators. And, of course, the legislature will convene on January 6th. And so by the time of next month's meeting, we will have reviewed hundreds of newly introduced bills for any impact on the district. And that's all I have for today.
Any questions?
Thank you. Oh, I should add, I just came from our open house for our new office space in Lincoln. We're just catty-corner from the state capitol. We hosted a number of senators and their aides tonight at our new location. It'll be very good for meetings. If any of you need meeting space at the Capitol, we're just a minute or two walk from the Capitol.
Excellent. Thank you. Moving on to 8D, we have a written report from the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance from Megan Sittler. With that, we'll move on to agenda item number 9, public hearing on the West Papillion Regional Basin number 7 project. General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will call the public hearing to order at 7:09 p.m. I have evidence of the proof of publication of the hearing notice here. Agenda item 4 is the explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Mr. Newman.
Thank you. This hearing is being conducted pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute Section 25-2504. The purpose of this hearing is for the Papillion, Missouri Natural Resources District to explain the nature of and necessity of the West Papillion Regional Basin No. 7 project, more commonly referred to as WP7, for which the district seeks to acquire private property, and the reason will also be discussed is the reasons for selecting the particular location or route. Each landowner within the project area has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer of damages which they will sustain by the proposed acquisition. They also have the right to require that such damages be determined pursuant to the procedures for acquisition by eminent domain and the district shall hear and consider any objections from any persons at this hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Agenda item 5 is identification of exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is a proof of publication of the hearing notice, which was posted in the Omaha World Herald on November 30th and December 3rd of 2015. Exhibit 3 is the unnamed West Papillion Creek Tributary Detention Evaluation Conceptual Design Report. Should have shortened that up. February of 06. Exhibit 4 is the West Papillion Creek Levee Restoration Evaluation of March of 08. Exhibit 5 is the Preliminary Design and Technical Memorandum. Exhibit 6 is a November 24th, 2015 public hearing notice and information packet sent to landowner certified mail. Return receipts we have. Exhibit 7 is a list of landowners mailed hearing notice. Exhibit 8 is a certified mail return receipts for informational packet mailed to landowners. Exhibit 9, letter of support from City of Papillion. Agenda item 6, explanation of the purpose and scope of the project. Amanda Grant, please.
The district is proposing the construction of West Papillion Regional Basin Number 7, WP7, which is generally located at about 108th and Lincoln, 108th and Lincoln Road in Papillion. The purpose of this project is to provide flood control for the Papillion Creek watershed in the Omaha metropolitan area, and the location was chosen to maximize the controlled drainage area of the watershed. On the screen is the preliminary layout for WP7, which includes an earthen embankment that's in alignment with the future extension of Cornhusker Road. And the blue, the light blue pool area would be the normal pool. The dark blue line is depicting the flood storage elevation or the auxiliary spillway elevation, and the yellow line is depicting the top dam elevation. The district is interested in acquiring property for the construction, operation, and maintenance of this regional flood control dam and reservoir, and that is shown through the hatched areas, and then to the plan to acquire the hatched areas, which would be remnant pieces, along with to the top of dam elevation, which is the yellow line. We propose to acquire fee simple title and or permanent or temporary easements on and across those lands for construction of the WP7 project. And the approximate project limits were mailed to the landowners along with the public notice of this meeting. And we're looking to acquire approximately 45 acres for the project. And the plans are preliminary at this time, and the details will be finalized, and the extent of that property will be determined after final design was a little more clearly defined. Negotiations for these properties would begin at the earliest in mid-January, and the reservoir has a drainage area of about 470 acres, and the normal pool surface is intended to be about 13 acres, and this will be a public lake with public access, and it will have some recreation elements associated with it.
Thank you, ma'am. Agenda item 7 is receive testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the public that would like to provide testimony on this project? Second time, is there anyone that would like to provide testimony or statements? Third and final time. Okay, seeing no one, I will close the receive testimony and statements. Agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits, and we will adjourn the hearing at 7:14 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John.
Question.
Yes, Judge Connell.
Didn't we do this last month? Why are we doing this again?
We did it. Oh, go ahead, David. Sorry.
Last month was it's the difference between statutory requirements for acquiring property through a willing buyer, willing seller basis, and this process, which allows for negotiations, willing seller, willing buyer, but also the potential for a combination if necessary. We're not planning that, but it's to satisfy the session.
Thank you. All right, so moving on to the subcommittee reports, agenda item 10A, Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee. Director Fred Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the December 8, 2015 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, 2016 Pay Program Administration Med. It is recommended that the amendments to the Papio Missouri River NRD Pay Program Administration Manual for calendar year 2016, as presented to the subcommittee, be adopted and incorporated into the district's policy manual. I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Ross.
Same.
Yeah.
No.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Thomas.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 10B, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be resolved that the minutes of the December 8, 2015 meeting of the Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, the West Papio Trail HCM Additional Construction Administration Services. It is recommended the general manager be authorized to execute amendment number 2 to the contract with HCM Associates for professional services on the West Papio Trail in the amount of $8,869.20, bringing the total maximum not to exceed amount of the contract to $167,472.49, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved by district legal counsel.
I believe we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Number two is renewal of USGS maintenance agreement for the Papio flood warning system gauges. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with USGS in the amount of $119,810 in district funds for the operation of the district's flood warning system for 2016, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and I so move.
There's a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Frost.
I believe that's Ms. Grant's agenda item. Amanda, would you?
Okay. What do these things tell us?
So these read the stage. They have rain gauges on them, so they get rain measurements, and then they read the stage of the creek, and then they transmit that data to real-time data that is available on the National Weather Service site and the USGS website.
That's going to cost us what?
It's $119,810 in district funds.
Well, I get a service called Climate Pro. Gives me the precipitation every 10 minutes. Gives me the wind speed. If I'm getting hail, possible tornado. Last 24 hours, precipitation. Projected future 24 hours precipitation. And it don't cost me a dime.
Yeah, the thing, this provides a lot of information for the public as well. I mean, someone has to pay to collect that data. And so there's a couple of different things that we do here. We collect the data, make it available. The other thing that's really important with this flood warning system is it's been in place since the early 90s. And so all of that data that's been gathered gets collected every year, archived, and used by people who do a lot of the engineers for modeling, for flood studies, also for the CSO project. They use a lot of that data as well. So it's providing not only real-time data for us when there's rain events and the stages are coming up all over town. We use it there. It's available to the public, but also it's used for a lot of scientific background, and it's important data to have if you want to do modeling of any kind.
And the National Weather Service utilizes it for
flood warnings
to the public, so it would be considered a public safety type of
infrastructure
to remove people from flooding, especially evening times and things like that when the Weather Service sends out warnings that you are in a particular danger area. So it's probably, cost benefit's probably pretty high.
NRD at this time of vote, NRD could tell the public whether or not you're going to have a flood or not.
And I'm not familiar with the Climate Pro, and so we'll certainly look at it and see. But I suspect that some of those, like the USGS sites, are free and available, and you can set up alerts to be notified when stages get high. But that's if we left it up to them, you know, they have one gauge at Waterloo, one on the Platte. You know, they don't have – I mean, we have a network of them in the Papio that they don't fund entirely on their own. We help to fund.
This Climate Pro, you can pick out any spot you want, bring it up on the GPS, I'll tell you within a tenth of an inch how much rain you're getting.
Well, and for rainfall, I mean, that certainly is something that, you know, we could look at. The stage data is another aspect of this, the whole system that we get.
It won't cost you a dime.
Any further questions from Director Teaser?
Well, Scott, for example, this can tell you exactly what the river is doing at a given moment, for example, on the Platte or on the Papio, if it's going up, and we get 5-minute readings, if I'm correct, on it, every 5 minutes it's updated. It doesn't look at a broad area. It's specific to the Papio in certain locations where we need that information to tell the public, hey, we're going to flood, or, you know, get your butt out of the area. I mean, this is pretty critical stuff. It's not just a broad-based, it's going to rain 3 inches in this area and 2.5 here. This is specific to the creek. The creek's going up. It's at flood stage. Get out. I mean, it's that important.
I have it on every one of my farms. I guess farms from the size of 160 down to 5 acres. That tells me on each and every farm what rain I'm getting.
This is specific to the creek. This is what's happening to the creek at that very moment.
I don't want to argue on the validity of an app. I'd rather stick with the agenda item at hand. Any further questions from directors? All right, seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Jeff.
No.
Luke.
Yes.
Report to vote.
8 yeas, 2 nays.
Thank you. Water Sustainability Fund application for West Papillion Regional Basin WP6 and WP7. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute and submit a Water Sustainability Fund application for 60% of the eligible project costs for the WP6 and WP7 projects, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Motion carries 8 yeas, 2 nays.
Now moving to item 4, another Water Sustainability Fund application. It is recommended that the general manager be authorized to execute and submit a Water Sustainability Fund application in the amount of 60% of eligible project costs for the Missouri River R613 and R616 levee certification project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Yeah.
Director Thompson.
I'd just like to remind the board that this is the
a levee project that protects Offutt Air Force Base. And when legislature passed 1098,
yeah.
The intent was that the funding mechanism be there to help support the Offutt Air Force Base. This is a very significant project for us and for the state of Nebraska to get those levees certified and built up to date. So submitting this to the Water Sustainability Fund is absolutely essential, and certainly hope we get a unanimous decision.
Completely agree. Any other discussion from directors? Seeing none, all upon the motion.
Thompson?
Yes.
Udo?
Yes.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
Yeah.
Jeff?
Yes.
Leahy?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Yes.
Now moving on to item 5, another Water Sustainability Fund application. It is recommended the general manager be authorized to execute and submit an Nebraska NDNR Insight Data Enhancement Program, IDEP, funding application in the amount of $72,000 and a Water Sustainability Fund application in the amount of 60% of eligible project costs for the Platte and Elkhorn River Valley Integrated Water Monitoring Project, with the understanding that the U.S. Geological Survey will be contracted to perform the project under a future joint funding agreement, and the Lower Platte North NRD will enter into a future interlocal agreement to cost share with the district, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Udo.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Motion carries 8-0.
Item 6 is a Water Sustainability Fund application. It's recommended that the general manager be authorized to execute and submit a Water Sustainability Fund application in the amount of 60% eligible project costs for the AEM Southwestern Sarpy County, Dakota County, Dakota Aquifer Mapping Project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager, and I so move.
A motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Ross?
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Udo.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 7, changes to district policy manual. Subcommittee recommends that the proposed amendments to district policy 17.32, 17.40, 18.42, 18.43, and 18.44 be approved and incorporated into the district's policy manual. And furthermore, it is recommended that the proposed amendments to district policies 15.4 and 15.8 be tabled for consideration at the next regular meeting of the board, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Leahy.
I have a process question about this. It says it is recommended that the proposed amendments to district policies 15.4 and 15.8 be tabled for consideration at the next regular meeting of the board. Wouldn't they be tabled back to the subcommittee because they never passed the board?
No, the policy on these particular policies is that once they are passed, they take a month to go into effect, so you will begin be voting on them in January. Jean?
Yeah, it's policy 1.5, item B, in case policy changes to 1.1 to 16.8. The vote on the question of the final adoption of such resolution shall be postponed until the next regular meeting of the board.
So 15.4 and 15.8 were passed.
Yes. Yes. But they're just by policy, they're laid over.
I don't think the minutes reflected that. Just didn't even touch on 15.4 and 15.8. So that's where my confusion was. To just talk about the other ones.
Okay. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Gaff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonin.
Yes.
Luke.
Yes.
Nine A, one A.
Thank you. Item number eight, providing notice of breach and authority to terminate the water purchase agreement with the city of Fort Calhoun. It is the subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to provide Fort Calhoun and the USDA written notice of the city's material breach of the Fort Calhoun water purchase agreement dated May 20th, 1978. And its subsequent amendments, and that the general manager be further authorized to terminate the agreement should Fort Calhoun not cure the breach within 60 days of receiving said notice. And I so move.
Right, we have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Jaff.
I have questions for Zach Nelson, please. I have a copy of all of the agreements and amendments. Okay. In the agreement, the water is delivered to a delivery point.
That is correct.
That is not the water tower.
There are two delivery points
mm-hmm.
on the edge of town. One roughly right in front of the medical clinic,
mm-hmm.
and then one just south on P-43
mm-hmm.
By Southern Heightsville.
Yes, which is not the water tower. And the city's engineer made reference to that. Is those delivery points within this American standard criteria that you made reference to?
Our portion of those, because our jurisdiction ends at the meter itself. So I know what is in compliance up to our meter pit and from that point on.
So you don't know if the city is in not in compliance with it or not.
But I know the water tower.
I didn't ask what the water tower is. That's not what's in the agreement. It's the delivery point. Well, somebody else will think differently. Also, the statement that I was provided, and not the whole contract as requested, the NRD shall furnish and install an automatic leveling control equipment in the existing Fort Calhoun storage reservoir and all the necessary piping and other apertures, including a black backflow prevention device reflecting the delivery from the point of delivery equipment to the reservoir. The equipment and aperture furnished under this section shall be owned and maintained by the city. The city agrees that the water equipment for receiving water will meet or exceed the American Water Works Association for such systems. Okay. Have you checked the automatic leveling control device? Is it working or not?
Well, there's not a need for it because the power is not operating.
Well, that's the city's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
In here is all you're concerned about is this automatic leveling works. And apparently it works to their standards.
Anything further, Director Jack?
Yes. The main thing here is approximately in 03 when Rural Water District 1 was Rural Water 2 was conceived, under State Statute 2-3254, it states, if it is determined that a project cannot be reasonably expected to generate significant revenue, the project and all its works in connection within shall be suspended. This board knew with the reports it had, Rural Water District 2 could only support $1 million in debt. And at that time, they issued a contract over $2 million. The previous board
counsel or somebody should have showed him this, and all we're doing is trying to cover up the facts that Rural Water District 2 wasn't feasible, still isn't today on its own, and we're trying to have somebody else pay for this board's mistakes. Also, other has anybody looked into what it costs the city to hook to number 2 Rural Water District as an expense to maintain the lines or help the city?
Yeah, the city had hired JEO. They're the city engineer. JEO has provided cost estimates of what that connection would be to the 2 system.
And how much is it?
I believe their cost estimate in the written report was somewhere around between $200,000 and $300,000.
Okay, $350,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Was this figure considered in the negotiating between the city and the lawsuit?
That particular figure.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
We're off the point of the motion here. I've called this out of order. I asked you to call this out of order.
I don't feel obligated to answer.
I don't think the negotiations are legal.
Yeah.
Question, wouldn't they, Mr. Newman?
The negotiations, there were negotiations over the settlement of the common lawsuit. I'm not sure how it applies to the motion for the moment. But if the director is asking for legal interpretation of the contract or of what's happening in litigation, I can't discuss that in open session.
Closed
session.
Thank you, Mr. Newman.
I'm done with my questions.
Thank you. Any further discussion for directors? Thank you, Zach. Director Leahy.
Yeah, when I saw this come up on our agenda, I mean, it's just sad that something like this comes up here. It's sad that the government entity didn't take care of something as important as a water tower. It's sad where it sounds like we learned of this through some of our litigation and the exploratory part of that litigation, and that we just weren't brought in on that discussion earlier. Sad that we're in litigation, even though it's separate from this issue to begin with. But the one thing that's not sad is I understand that we will continue to provide water to the residents, because not necessarily because the residents of Fort Calhoun or not Fort Calhoun, but because they're constituents of RNRD. But my concern, I guess, is our ability to provide them water, if my understanding about this is correct, and I want to make sure that it is, or if it's not, that they clear it up. If they were negligent to let something like a water tower go into disrepair, and that's a pretty big deal, are there other aspects of the system that the maintenance has fallen behind to the point where maybe it's going to be inoperable and affect our ability to get water to our constituents? You know, when we're talking about, or Director Japp said something about delivery points and connecting points, and our jurisdiction ends there. Are there parts of the system that are under Fort Calhoun's responsibility to take care of, and have they taken care of those, and do we know? Do we know have they or hadn't they? Because that's my concern, is we are not going to be able to deliver water to these residents, not because our side of the system is maintained, but because their side isn't. So I don't know if anyone can answer that, or have we studied that issue? Is there going to be more concern?
I think we can only speak to up to our delivery point, our equipment, and our meters and our pumps. Other than that, then that's the responsibility of the city of Fort Calhoun. I know they have an engineering firm that looks over the system, and so that would have to be something that they work with the city if there's deficiencies to handle that. And I don't know if there is or not, and that's a question for them. I can only guarantee that everything that we have up to that point is functioning and meets all the standards.
Should we be asking them to take a look at the rest of their system? I mean, is that...
I would hope that's part of their yearly maintenance and yearly review, and so I'd have to defer to them to answer that question. I can't speak to them.
Any further questions from directors or to Jack?
It is in the agreement between NRD and the city of Fort Calhoun, we are to maintain 500 gallons per minute at 72 PSI. That's all. And you have a set rate of whatever it's in the agreement. That's the only thing in the agreement. And all we need, what we're failing to do here we're going down the road, is failing them to provide the 500 gallons per minute at 72 pounds of pressure.
That's totally false.
That's false.
We provide at the rate in the agreement, and that statement is totally false.
Well, you're trying to break that agreement.
Well, that's a false accusation again.
Any further questions from directors? Director Lake.
Yeah, I thought sort of my point may have been dismissed. Maybe I didn't make it all that clearly. But if they haven't been maintaining the rest of their system, which I could only assume because they didn't maintain a critical part of it, are we just going to sort of say, well, we can't get water to our residents because they didn't maintain their part of the system? Or do we have a plan in place to maybe even legally say, you need to retake a look at your system and show us that the rest of the system works, so we know we're able to get water to our constituents? Again, I don't view it as the Fort Calhoun's constituents that they need to get water to. I view it as our responsibility to get water to them. And I worry that they didn't hold up their end of the bargain on anything else.
Dr. Conway.
I'd like to emphasize that the city of Fort Calhoun is one giant customer. The individual customers, while we are interested in their well-being, they're not our customer. The city is, with two metering points that properly protect us, and we get paid for the water that goes through the meter. And I don't think there's, from what I've heard to this point, there's no insinuation of anything other than the water tower, and I don't think it'd be fair to try to draw other things into it. I did read that report today, and I think we should just stick to the material that was presented by the professionals.
Thank you, George. Conley, any further questions? George Bonnet.
I just want to say that I'm really disappointed that I keep hearing the language being used. That really sounds like finger pointing between our entity and Fort Calhoun. It's just not the Nebraska way. And if we were to take Director Japp's reading of that agreement, we'd be cutting off service on what used to be rural water system number 2. Well, we're not going to do that. I would really expect to see some toning down of some of this language, the finger pointing. I want our staff and the Fort Calhoun staff to work together. And specifically my questions for tonight are, how do we even know what the condition of that water tower is? Did we do an inspection on that? Why would we have authorization to do that? How do we even know? And what specifically is non-functional? It just seems to me that we're throwing an entire piece of infrastructure under the bus with the accusation that it's broken, when it may just be a few components. Just because something's old doesn't mean it's totally non-functional and needs to be replaced. That may be the position of Fort Calhoun. We haven't heard from them. But I haven't heard specifically if it's a pump, if it's a pipe, or what it is. Just can't be the entire water tower.
Mr. Newman?
If I may. Go to the point. One of the items that may be helpful to understand is in the resolution, the motion before you, as well as in the agreement, the first step is to provide notice of material breach. And then they have the city of Fort Calhoun, we have 60 days to show us that they've cured that breach. Then if they do within that 60-day time period, then there is no longer a breach and the agreement stays in place. If they haven't done it at the end of the 60 days, that's when termination could occur. But nothing, the contract remains in place that entire 60-day period.
Richard Jeff.
Mr. Newman? Okay, what is this material breach in the system that you talked about that they have to repair?
Material. I don't understand your question, Director.
You said if there's a material breach, they have 60 days to fix it. That was your words.
Yes.
Okay, so what is the material breach that we want them to fix?
The material breach is the water tower, the water reservoir in the agreement does not meet the AWWA.
All right. What in the water tower is not functional that you want to fix, that you want to give them 60 days to fix?
It's correct. Yeah, it's not that in and of itself is the material breach.
I thought there was way you were talking. There was a specific item, so apparently we don't know.
The what we know and what we've learned thus far through the litigation, which was in a deposition, so that's already a public record,
yes,
is that the water tower does not meet those standards that are set forth as required by the agreement.
Well, we'll disagree on that part, but okay, thank you.
Well, I guess maybe what Director Jeff or Director Bonnet was getting at, and I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what about the water tower is broke, or what do they need to fix in these 60 days, I guess?
Well, Zach, you could add. I mean, I could probably sum it up exactly. You could fill in the details. I think what what we're saying is the water tower does not function, and whatever it takes to repair it, they have 60 days to do it. Is it a pump? Is it a valve? Is it a catastrophic failure?
It's a multitude of things, yeah. AWWA standards, essentially, it's like a phone book of different standards, whether it's surface preparation on the surface of the inside of the tank, the outside of the tank, the required amount of times you have to inspect the tank, certain kind of sizing on valves, insect screens into the tank. So that's the thing. So it's a laundry list of items. And I think what Mr. Newman was talking about is the fact that all of those items don't meet the standards and that tank's not in operation. That's a breach of the agreement. So from our perspective, from the water system as a whole, the fact that tank's not functioning creates undue stress on the pumps that are constantly running to provide water to the system. The way a water tower works is, in theory, you should be pumping water to it at night when energy is the cheapest and you don't have that much demand on the system. Right now, everything's going full throttle. This isn't a ticky-tack thing. This is simply, this is costing the system money, and it's in the best interest of not only for Calhoun, but for us to somehow get this fixed. And I think furthermore, we've talked so much about, you know, what was in the past and what were projections. There was so much speculation. Right now, the financial status or standing in the system is a lot better than what we speculated 10 years ago or even 2 years ago. So I think we need to focus on what is the reality now.
Any further questions from Director Thompson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We own 6 or 7 water towers.
We own 3.
3?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry, this resolution has reached its point, and I guess over time, we, like a lot of our customers, we talk to them. If there's an issue, hopefully they come to us and we can advise them accordingly, which we have done. We maintain our own water towers according to these standards, and things are fine. I haven't heard otherwise. We've got the new one in Blair, for example, that subsequently supports the city of Fort Calhoun, right? And so we did our part, and I think this is kind of a wake-up call that this rural water system is important to a lot of folks. We're unfortunately got to take the action we do to say, look, fix this element of it. We don't control their tower. We're not going to pay for it, of course. It's their city of Fort Calhoun. Assume they have tax authority and all that to build a new one. So we need to get on with things, and if they can cure it, I don't know if they can or not. I don't know what it takes, how many pumps or paints a coat, get coats of paint or whatever. But I think we must have all the time here gotten confused between the two parties. I've not heard from Fort Calhoun, like Director Leahy said. We just heard a major malfunction of information about water pressure from one of our board members, and I hope the city of Fort Calhoun, as they were here Tuesday, recognize that not one person speaks for this board. And I've got great faith in Zach Nelson since he came on board. to work these out with all of our customers. But that this is an action we unfortunately have to take, because otherwise it's just going to keep kicking the can down the road.
Any last comments from directors? Director Jaff, and then we'll get you to respond.
If after 60 days the water tower is not repaired, what is the action this board is proposing to take?
Speculative at this point.
We have to wait until the 60 days to expire before we present the board with any additional information or opinions or.
All right. I'm in the mortgage business, so to me, that's how I understand this issue. But we have a piece of property here that's just not passing inspection. So when that happens in my profession, I have a laundry list of vendors and contractors I go to help the homeowner cure a trip hazard or a missing railing or whatever. So I just ask that our staff take a look at that laundry list and see what we can do to help. Thank you.
In reviewing the report that JEO did for the city, it points out that the reservoir was not in service, and that was a report provided to the city. And this director is not saying put the reservoir in service. There are other options. They may cost more for a cost of service standpoint, but I'm not for one saying that that's the only repair. It's costly, more costly to us, as we heard, provide service when that tower isn't there. But that can be compensated in other ways. And I think we need to keep our mind open and look for a solution, and recognizing that as things drag on up there, there's a lot of people, a lot of expenses going out for no good purpose. So I hope we can get this to a conclusion.
Any further comments from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 9 is a bid opening for Washington County Rural Water Snowdrift Lane Water Main Extension. Recommend that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Hampton Trenching for the construction of the Washington County Rural Water Snowdrift Lane Water Main Extension project in a not to exceed bid amount of $37,988, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and district legal counsel. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yes. Chairperson.
Yes.
That concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 10C, Finance, Expenditures, and Legal Subcommittee. Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved that the minutes of December 8, 2015, meeting of FEL subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into the minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1. Fiscal year 2015 audit report. Recommendation that the FY 2015 audit report prepared by HSMC Horizon LLC be accepted, and the GM be directed to file an authenticated copy of the audit report with the Nebraska Auditor of Public Accounts and the Nebraska Natural Resources Commission, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Director, is Director Conley.
Yes, I'd like to take this moment to thank Kerry Fry, Barb, and Jolene for the outstanding job they've done again this year. We've got a clean audit. They continue to do an excellent job, and we all benefit because of their good work. So I would just like to thank them again publicly for their work.
I second that.
Director Conley? Absolutely. Director Jaff?
I didn't get a – before I left home, I never got a response to my question that I had yesterday.
Which question?
Or Tuesday.
Which question is that, Director Jaff?
The W-2 – or 1099?
Gina. Okay. Thanks, Gina. Didn't see him.
Sure. Yeah, sorry. I snuck in.
Director Japp, there was a memo from the law firm Nielsen and Birch, that the district has been following in regards to that. We reviewed that memo and believe that the treatment of the per diem and other expenses in our W-2 is correct, and the memo that they've been following is still appropriate and in place. Okay. There's no IRS regulations changed.
Okay. One other question then. For like reimbursements,
mm-hmm.
Why am I taxed on reimbursements?
Well, it depends on the nature of the reimbursement and the district's the type of plan that they have, as far as whether it's an accountable plan or not, and what support is there. So some expenses are being added to your W-2, and some are not, depending on the nature of them and whether they're.
For example, mileages.
Mileage. It depends on which type of mileage. Mileage from an individual's home to their work or where they're going to, the IRS has designated that as a commute, and that is not a reimbursable expense.
So when I come from home to the board meeting and back home, that is a taxable.
The IRS
expense.
Would say that is a commute for the individual and would not be a reversible expense and would be added to your W-2.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Any further questions?
And may I also, I will also just second or third Director Conley's comment that your team has done an excellent job and we do look over their shoulder and in their backpacks and everywhere else looking for things, as they will attest, and they're doing an excellent job for you.
Thank you so much. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yes.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Udo.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Abstain.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Item 2, Elk River 240th Street, Bank Stabilization Project, Long-Term Solution Right-of-Way Acquisition. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement for the Elk River 240th Street Project, Tract 1, in the amount of $117,000 for the channel easement containing an area of 12.37 acres and an excess easement containing an area of 0.686 acres, and such other terms and conditions as deemed necessary by the GM and legal counsel. I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 3, King Lake Buyout Program. A, purchase agreements. Recommendation, the GM be authorized to execute a purchase agreement providing for the purchase of the district from Richard A. Johnson property located 24235 King Lakeside Drive for the purchase price of $8,000. Purchased by the district from Richard A. Johnson property located 24115 Lakeside Place for $5,000. And purchased by the district from Jerome Alcumas property located at 24535 King Lake Road for $40,000. All subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM and District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
With the motion on the table, is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
No.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
9-1.
Thank you. Item B, agreement with Waterloo Volunteer Fire Department. Recommendation that the GM be authorized to execute a waiver, release, and hold harmless agreement with the Waterloo Volunteer Fire Department for the King Lake properties located at 24535 King Lake Road, 24235 King Lakeside Drive, and 24115 Lakeside Place. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the GM District Legal Counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff
Board of Directors. Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Van Conley.
Yes.
Cross.
Yeah.
Jeff.
Yes.
Becky.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
And Jefferson.
Yes.
Thank you.
Item 4, Pathview Creek Watershed PL 566, the structure W3, John F. Camden Family Trust. A Washington County Board of Appraisers Award, it is recommended that the GM be authorized to make a deposit of $172,671 with the Washington County Court for the Pathview Creek Watershed Structure 3, W3. Camden land rights, and furthermore, the district not appeal to the Board of Appraisers award to John F. Camden Family Trust, and furthermore, that financial account 01035904430 maintenance dams land rights be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Van Conley.
Yes.
Cross.
Yeah.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
9A, 1A.
Thank you. B. Camden proposal is recommended that Mr. Camden's October 5th, 2015 written proposal for modifying the Pathview Creek watershed PL 566 structure W3 project be rejected, and I so move.
A motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Cross.
No.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
8 yeas, 2 noes.
Thank you. Item C, accounts over 110%, account 01035904392, maintenance dams, attorney fees. The recommendation that account 01035904392, maintenance dams, attorney fees be allowed to exceed 110% of the budget amount, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
No.
Yeah.
Upstate.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
No.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
7 yeas, 2 nays, 1 abstention.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to Agenda Item 11, the Treasurer's Report, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of Agenda Items 11A, 1 through A through I, and inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second.
Thank you, Director Thompson. We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Jeff.
No.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Agenda Item 12, legal update. Mr. David Newman from Hush Blackwell.
No, Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything in addition to add besides what's already been discussed at the meeting this evening.
Moving right along, Agenda Item 13, Chairperson's Report. 13A, the National Association Conservation District's annual meeting, January 30th through February 3rd, 2016, in Reno, Nevada. I had several directors that had applied to go this year, trying to change it up a bit. We'll have Director Jim Thompson and Vice Chair Tim Fowler will be making the journey, so please bring back some good information. Agenda Item 13B, Papua Missouri River Natural Resources District Employee Service Awards. I believe we have any of these gentlemen in the room.
No, actually, we have neither of the three. So we will recognize them, obviously, though, Bill Lohler for 5 years, Kyle Wynn, 5 years, and Lil Ravy, 5 years. So congratulate them on their service, and we'll get them their awards. But
thank you,
just
John.
Not tonight.
Just in general, reflection on the years, we've once again had a very clean audit. I want to reflect Director Conley's statements and to thank everybody for their fine work this year. It's been, as always, challenging at times, but we've always maintained, you guys have always maintained a very professional attitude, and it is greatly appreciated. You certainly do a very nice job. You do well for the taxpayers. You make me proud to be a member of this board and to get to work along with each and every one of you. So thank you for another wonderful year. And with that, we'll move on to agenda item 14, the general manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Attached is the October and November INE report for 2015. We missed one last month. The district did receive a letter from Carl Bibb, President CEO of Dunbar Peterson Insurance, notifying the district of their merger with the Harry A. Co. Company. And a copy of Mr. Bibb's letter is attached for your review. We also received a letter from Larry Klaus, Bennington High School, Skill USA. Thank you, Mr. Schumacher, for his career presentation to its membership students. A copy of Mr. Klaus's letter is attached also. Also, tomorrow we'll be volunteering, me and a number of staff, at the Open Door Mission from noon to 2. It's kind of our way to give back to the community, and so it's kind of the first time we've done a joint volunteer like this together, so we'll see how that goes. I'd like to thank also the staff that have signed up to do that, so really appreciate that. Also, report on purchases. Construction services, professional service, personal property is attached for November, as well as a current and ongoing project with the district legal counsel. The partnership meeting was canceled for November. The next meeting is scheduled for December 17th. Also, an update on auction of the surplus property at Prairie Queen Rec area. Amanda provided a memo to outline that. We're looking at mid-February, February 10th, date set in stone. Signs will go up this week. Director Lee, do you have a question?
Well, I mean, I'm not exactly the auction type, if you believe that, but February 10th, I mean, is this going to be an outside auction?
No.
Okay.
It will be here at the NRC building. They've received a huge amount of interest, so they're not expecting the weather conditions or to be any problem with marketing and with interest, so. The reason it took so long is we had some problems with right away and also just property lines and how to kind of set up the parcels that made them the most attractive, as well as kind of keeping future trails and all that in mind as well. So it took longer than anticipated.
Do they have to be here physically too, or will we have like an online aspect of it?
I think
February 10th, I do think the weather could be an issue when March 10th or something.
Right. Ben, did they have an online option? I don't think so. Do they? Okay.
I don't know if we talked much about using it, but I'm sure we'll look at that after.
Okay. As part of the report is we received a letter from Matt Pillar, project manager for HDR, regarding out-of-scope work efforts on Rumsey West Mitigation Bank site. A copy of that letter is attached for your review, and that will come again in future meetings. But we wanted to notify the board that will be an issue that you will be addressing. Mr. Thompson attended a conference this past week. And, Jim, did you want to say a few words on that?
Yes. Thank you, John. Monday, and Fred Conley was there as well.
Oh, Fred, sorry.
And, Paul Woodward and Zach.
Eric.
His twin.
Eric Williams was there, too.
The Nebraska Conservation Summit, hosted by Nebraska League of Conservation Voters, and I need to clarify that it's not conservative voters, it's conservation voters, and the Nebraska Conservation Education Fund, the League of Conservation Voters, they're dedicated to holding elected officials accountable, advocating for sound conservation policies, and electing conservation champions. So they're in the trenches, so to speak, along with the Nebraska Conservation Education Fund, to talk about what are the issues on conservation within Nebraska. It was a day long, starting at 1:45 conference, and we didn't get out of there until after 8 o'clock. And a good panel discussion to start out with Jeff Fassett, the director of the new director of the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources, was here, and he came to our board meeting in October, something like that. So he was there. Joel Christensen, the Vice President of Water Operations for MUD. And which he pointed out that we talked about a lot of the wells on the Platte, or excuse me, Elkhorn, the Platte,
those,
and the Missouri River. And he said we get about 3% of our drinking water from those two wells, which that surprised me that the amount of water that's pulled out of those wells and sent to the citizens is not as much water as I thought it would be, but it's still significant. But you try to put that in perspective. If the creek dries up, so to speak, we've got some issues. There's some other panelists. There are different breakout sessions. Ellen Kolak, who's been before our board, talked about water quality. They've got that little toxology site down in Louisville. Elkhorn? Where is it?
Elkhorn.
On the Elkhorn. The panelists were interesting. Amy Schmidt, who was from Environmental Engineer at the University of Nebraska. Rorick Pullman. And he said he used to be on the board of an NRD in central Nebraska.
South Platte.
He looked familiar anyways, but he's not on the board now. Brian Barrels, who's Nebraska Public Power District Water Resources, came in from central Nebraska to be on the panel. Good discussion, no conclusions, but in general, putting our minds that we're kind of spoiled in Nebraska with the amount of water we have, the amount of irrigation that we have, but we can't take it for granted. If we hit a drought period of 25 years, like perhaps can happen again, what would we do? And as we voted on earlier, the study that with the Elkhorn and the Platte, I think I quizzed all Tuesday about it. It really tied in to learning from this conference that, we got to have these studies, what if, and they may sit on the shelf for a while, but in reality, if we don't do that, we're probably jeopardizing the future generation. So the keynote speaker was a guy named Dr. Peter Glick, who's from California. He's noted as one of the 15 people the next president should listen to. I wanted to ask him what he would say to the next president, but didn't have the chance. But he gave a real good general view of water in the world. And that may not affect us, really, but he talked about the war over in the Middle East. So, the drought over there is drawing people to the water sources. And if you get that many people coming to the water sources, you got some fights going on. And it's kind of an indication that water is really important. And, people are killing themselves over there because they're congested into where they have to grow and eat, have food that's not available and how vital water is. And, again, we're spoiled in Nebraska. That's I know our actions as a whole are keeping the particular district in line, but Nebraska as a whole with the other NRDs. We're doing okay. Hopefully within our lifetime we'll not see any real issues. But it's a good conference next year. I don't know where it's going to be, but stay tuned. And that's about all I have to say, unless you have anything to add, Fred or Paul.
Okay. Thank you. One other note I'd like to note, personnel, Eric Williams is being recognized. Is that next week, Eric?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning, sorry. And the 40 under 40? Is that correct? Okay. And Mr. Besick, I believe, nominated Eric. So Eric's going to represent the district there at the at this. So that's congratulations, Eric. You should be proud of that. And so we here at the district are as well. Also, at the end of the meeting, there will be refreshments and desserts in the entryway. And I hope each and every one of you and your family have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you in January. That concludes my report.
Thanks, John. Agenda item 15, informational items. The next meeting will be January 14th here at the building. And I also want to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and Happy New Year. I hope you get to spend time with those that you love, family and friends. So thank you again for your service this year. It's always it has been a pleasure. And I look forward to seeing you after the meeting. With that, we are adjourned.